Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in.
Welcome back to another edition of Leader in Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas, with my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya. Okay, we got a big show for you guys today. Last week, we had Brandon Rios and Paulie Malignaggi. A lot of feedback from both of those interviews. So we decided after, with the Brandon Rios interview and two articles that Gabriel Montoya had posted up, that it would only fit for this week to have the trainer, Robert Garcia, with us here live on Leaving the Ring. So we're going to start it off immediately with Robert Garcia. I'm going to be patching him in about 10 seconds here. And Gabriel is going to take over just for a few seconds and break the news and why the poll that Mayweather posted up on his TMT site is a myth like Santa Claus flying around above our heads on December 25th. Gabriel?
Yeah, I think people just need to calm down. You know, the media, they just, you know, Mayweather's name comes up and it's something that they could print. They get all excited and they act like, you know, this is actually news. It's not really news. When they offer you two of something, that's not really choice. They probably already made up their mind in some regards. And when you look at the styles, neither of those guys are going to beat Floyd. They're not really, you know, one is an untested 147-pounder who's been knocked out three times. He's really a 140-pounder, Amerikan. He has yet to fight at 147. He's been knocked out at lower weights three times.
Okay, hey, Gabriel, real quick, let's we'll get right back to that subject. I wanna be able to patch in Robert Garcia. Robert, are you there, brother?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking the time to speak to us. I know that you are going to get on the road pretty soon, so we'll make this as quick as we can possible.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So let me I'm going to start my question with this, is that you looked really irritated how you weren't voted as Trainer of the Year. And I want to ask you, because of that vote and the judgment from the Boxing Writers Association, do you think that it kind of stemmed because of the gay slurs and making fun, you know, your team making fun of Freddie Roach? Do you think that kind of tarnished your chances to become Trainer of the Year, and they used that against you?
I was told by a reporter in New York that was the reason, that this reporter asked the main guy that does the final choices or whatever. And that's what that person told him. And it's not that I'm irritated, because getting that award is not going to feed my family. It's not going to provide for my six or seven coaches that I have working for me and that are getting a monthly salary to be able to feed their family. You know, the award is not going to do that for me. You know, it's my fighters. You know, the work that we've done in the gym. So that's what matters to me. But it is irritating, you know, to know that, you know, we produced four world champions. We had great, you know, great wins with Mikey, great wins with Kenny Gradovich, who was the underdog and became a world champion, and especially the one with Maidana, you know. Who else did it in boxing? You know, I think it's just about politics, and honestly, I have no respect for Boxing Writers Association anymore.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, it makes two of us.
Right, yeah, makes three of us. Let me ask you this, Robert, because I saw on your tweets where you were saying it does upset you when people call you names, you know, in Spanish. And then there was some media, and even a lot of fans were kind of tweeting. They weren't tweeting it directly to you, but they were, like, subtweeting that how could you say anything about that when you guys have out-made gay slurs and you have made fun of Freddie Roach's, disease? I mean, what do you say to those people?
Look, when all that happens, it doesn't happen right now. It happens when we're involved in fighting each other. You know, when we have somebody fighting somebody in his camp, you know, with, you know, with both times been against Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is Manny Pacquiao. He's been the best for many years. He's going to be, he's made history. I think he's going to be one of the best all-time fighters. But, you know, the fact that there's always, you know, camps always say stuff about each other camp when they're fighting each other. You know, Mayweather does the same. Guerrero does the same. You know, that's just the way boxing is. That's the way they build fighters up. But I don't have any problem with nobody involved in boxing. You know, if I see Freddie Roach in regular shows here in Southern California, we actually shake hands. We say hi to each other. It's all part of boxing. It's all coming, you know, building the fight up. And he's with his team. I'm with my team. And, of course, I want to win. He wants to win. So, yeah, there's talk. And, there's always talk and always, you know, seems
key to the moment stuff.
Don't like
right?
each other. But I have nothing against him or anybody else, you know. It bothers me to read tweets, you know, people calling my team and Mikey and myself, you know, that, you know, really, really bad words in Spanish. So, you know, I say right. something bad and they take it very offensively. You know, I have to be careful with what I say because what they say don't matter to nobody, but what I say matters to everybody. Everybody looks at what I'm saying. So I guess I just have to be careful with what I say. But, you know, I really, you know, I say it when I'm mad, you know, like just recently with Gamboa. I responded to him and to his team that I just, you know, going out to calling us really, really bad names in Spanish. So I responded, you know, that don't mean that's the way I feel for every Cuban out there in the world. Definitely not. I respect and admire, you know, the sacrifices they do to come to this country and leaving their loved ones behind that they might never see again. So, you know, that's something that we got to respect. But, you know, at the moment I was heated up and I said stuff like that, you know, because, you know, I defend my family too.
You know, I guess it's the curse of becoming a famous trainer. But also, I got to tell you this, that the way you handled yourself with the feud with Freddie Roach in the gym, I thought you carried yourself very well. I thought that you handled it well. I didn't think your team handled it very well, but I knew that you did. So but let me ask you this, because your son was tweeting right after the Mikey Garcia fight, your brother's fight, that there was some New York rules that had been changed. Can you explain that a little bit more? What were the rules that were changed against you and your fighter in New York?
Look, when we get to the rules meeting, they bring in the doctor and the commissioners are talking about, you know, the rules like they normally do. But then they brought up a doctor, and they started, you know, saying that that they didn't want nobody, pretty much pointing at me, you know, that they didn't want nobody in the dressing room putting anything on the fighter's nose before they go out of the ring or during the fight they didn't want to see anybody working with medicine unless there was blood. We couldn't put nothing, you know, Q-tip, no nothing on the fighter's nose unless there is blood. You know, that's something that they basically pretty much did for us because originally a lot of people were saying that, you know, we put those in their nose before they go out to the ring. You know, I did it all my career as a boxer. We've done it to every single one of my fighters. But the fact that Luis is working with me now, they're thinking something that he brought up. No, I always used it with all my fighters. Dr. Anderson, who's my cutman, has done it since I was fighting, has done it to every one of my fighters before their fights for, you know, fighting 4 rounds, 6 rounds, championship fights, he does it to every single one of my fighters, you know. But now, because Arisa's is with us, they think it's him bringing that to our team, but we've always used it. And there's so many other coaches, so many other coaches that do the same thing. Right before going out of the ring, we do that, you know. It's to prevent the fighter from bleeding. But it's not to take advantage of anything, you know, during the fight. But, hey, it is what it is, I guess. I guess success comes with all this, you know, just people trying to make up stories and trying to blame us for something that they just want to blame us for something.
Well, I don't think anybody was blaming you for anybody. I'm the one that wrote the story. I talked to New York because I saw the tweets and I asked them, hey, did you guys do, you know, New York, did you guys do anything different? And what they told me was that, no, what we did was enforce rules that it sounded like they hadn't been enforcing for years. You know, the use of epinephrine for anything, and it says it's in the ABC. I checked with USADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency. They all say that, that the use of this particular substance, epinephrine slash adrenaline, for any other purpose other than stopping a cut, for an actual laceration, not preventative, not putting it in the nose before a flight, that's illegal. You're not allowed to do that.
But, yeah, but what I mean is, bottom line is, they enforced it because
of
my team. That's the only reason they enforced it. You know, they never enforced it. They never tried to enforce any laws or any different, any changes. You know, when Arisa was working with Roach or with Pacquiao, actually that was the best team ever. You know, they were working so good together, and everybody always gave them credit and respect for what they were doing. And now with me, they're finding any little excuse to try to blame us for stuff that they shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean? I just don't think it's fair. But I guess,
let me ask you this then. Because it didn't happen back then and it happened now, you think that it shouldn't have never happened at all? Do you think that's a rule that should be X'd out and not be enforced because it wasn't enforced in the past, Robert?
No, because it's something that has nothing to do with giving a fighter advantage. What we do, the way I do it, we put it in the nose so that they don't bleed. I used to bleed a lot during training, and during the fights, I never bled. I use it with my amateurs. I use it with every single one of my fighters. When they have that in their nose, they're breathing through their mouth. They're not breathing through their nose, so they're not trying to breathe anything in. They're just breathing through their mouth. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. I don't even know why they think or they're trying to use that as an excuse to say that helps a fighter. You know, it doesn't, because we're not having them breathe it in. They're breathing through their mouth.
Right. So if it doesn't do anything for your fighter, it doesn't affect your fighter, then let me ask you this. Why even be upset about it? Why not just go, okay, well, if the rule's the rule, then that's, I didn't know about it, and now that I know, I will follow it.
Oh, we are following. We did follow it. We didn't use it with my team.
Right.
We didn't use it. We didn't do it. You know, of course we have to follow the rules, but we were never told that was a rule. We were never told that was a rule that we couldn't do. So we always used it since I was fighting 15 years ago, 20 years ago, since I was fighting. I've always
right.
used it. A lot of other coaches have come out to say that they've always used it too. I'm not the only one that does that. I'm not the only one that does that. A lot of coaches do it. And you know, if it was a rule that was not enforced, well, then I never knew that was a rule because nobody ever told me I couldn't do it. And we would do it in front of commissioners, in front of New York Commission, in front of Texas Commission, Nevada Commission, California Commission, and nobody has ever given us a hard time about it until now.
And you know what? To be fair to you, you're absolutely right. There are other trainers and cutmen that we've spoken to that have mentioned the same thing as you as well. But the only difference is they have all mentioned we know that it was not legal to do it before a fight. But go ahead, Gabe.
We didn't know that either.
The rules do state, actually, that you're not supposed to use epinephrine for anything other than an actual laceration or an actual nosebleed. Topical use only. Now you guys know. I think, in a sense, too, what this points out is that the commissions, the inspectors, these guys are a lot of times part-timers. You're a full-time boxing person. And I see this a lot with different cutmen or different people. They're like, look, these guys are making minimum wage or a little bit more. They work the weekend fights, maybe a fight during the week, but they're not fight people. And so they don't know. And I think what happened in New York was somebody reminded them that, hey, this is actually banned by at the world levels. I mean, that you use it with all your amateurs says that USADA is not doing their job and not paying attention to their
own. I had fights in New York last year. Nobody ever told me anything. You know, this time they told us we didn't use it. We're not going to use it anymore. Of course not.
Right. I agree with you. If they're not enforcing it, it is their fault. You know, but glad that you kind of recognize that. Well, this is part of the rule now. I like to move on. I like to move on to something else here.
Okay.
You know, last year was a pretty tough year with Brandon Rios. And then you had the Madonna, which really just kind of picked everything up for you guys. But let me ask you this: with Brandon Rios, when he got tested positive for the DMMA, who received, when did you get notified about that? I mean, you know, when did Cameron Duncan get notified about it, and when did you get notified about it? Because we had a chance to talk to Brandon last week, and he was kind of like in the dark, and he was like, you know what, I never knew until later. Everybody knew before me. Where were you at in that
sense? We didn't know until I was in I was actually at some other fights. Cameron Duncan called me. He called me. It was like 2 weeks after the fight because it was already December. It was like December 3rd when Cameron Duncan called me and told me. I don't know. Then he called up Brandon after that. But I'm the one. Cameron's the one that called me and told me.
And did Cameron tell you that you could protest this? I mean, because I'm just wondering, why didn't you guys test the B sample? Why was this left alone?
It was just the way it was done, the way it was handled. Better. So there's no class, no professionalism. The way they did it, the way they, you know, the guy that was handling them, the guy that walked to Brandon's room to test them and wasn't prepared, and had Brandon peeing up in a glass cup, and then send my son down to the arena to go pick up the container where Brandon's supposed to be, and then came back and poured Brandon's pee from the glass cup into the container. That was just not professionalism. He wasn't doing his job the way he's supposed to. Throughout training camp, getting Brandon tested and getting Brandon needles in his arm for blood, doing it next to the ring while we have sparring matches going on, sweat, blood is all over the place. They're doing it right there, right next to the ring. You know, I just think that's also part of not being professional.
Well, one thing too, the people that visited you at the gym and the people that visited you in China, neither of those are WADA employees. The ones in China work for a company named IDTM, and what they do is sample collection. And they do that for the Olympics and a lot of major other results or events.
They send them, right?
But the problem is, you keep saying WADA, and I'm just telling you, the people you have an issue with is not that company. WADA is just an administrator. They subcontract out to the same people that USADA does. In the U.S., it's Claridium, which is who you dealt with at Oxnard. That's why
they should be careful who they
video
send.
About that guy saying, well, we don't know, you know, Pacquiao is going to get tested at this time. He wouldn't even know, because the people collecting from Pacquiao work for a completely different company that he does. So I'm just letting you guys know, when you say WADA, really what you mean is IDTM and Claridium.
I guess they've got to be aware of who they send and who goes and does that, because I don't think it was done right.
But here's the thing. That seems like a great basis for a protest. Why, if you found out on the 3rd, as you said, and when the first time I talked to you, you told me that this was the 13th, you told me you hadn't heard anything about it. But now you're saying you heard on the 3rd. What I don't understand is why you wouldn't take that. It's a perfect basis. It's the same defense that Ryan Braun used to get off of.
Because there was no big deal. They didn't find Brandon. They didn't. It was a trace of whatever they found. I don't even know what
again,
it was. It was a trace.
Trace is a scientific term.
Brandon didn't get fined. Brandon is going to be fighting again in May or June. He'll be, you know, it was no big deal. Why even try to question when all the
because he had
an
illegal
substance in his
body. Why isn't that a big deal?
Because it wasn't. Because nobody made a big deal about it. Brandon's
going
to fight again.
By the Chinese boxing.
It's not like he got
suspended
or fined $100,000 like Chavez Jr. did, you know.
He did get suspended, though, Robert.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Was the reasoning that you didn't protest because you only got suspended 5 months by the Chinese commission and you're probably not going to fight there anyways?
Well, I don't, you know, Brandon wouldn't fight anyways, you know, because he has to take some time off and everything. So why even go through it? Why even go through it, you know, when there's no need for it?
Well, if that's the reasoning, then why trash WADA and why say that they did a bad job and not protest your good vein? It doesn't make any sense to me. Seems like more like that.
They did. We just know what we know how they did it. We know we're the ones that were there, and all we got to do is just ignore whatever they say, whatever they do.
So I'm saying it should be a slam dunk if you've got all those witnesses and that's what happened.
and you knew on the 3rd, which was well before the 10th, which was the deadline to protest, it would seem that you would protest.
I was very busy with my Donna. You know, Cameron never said to do anything, never told us to do anything. Cameron was actually, you know, supporting us, but never said let's do this, let's do that. I was busy with my Donna. My Donna had a fight the following week. Brandon, I was already gone. Brandon was back home. You know, right there at that point, I was focused on my Donna, not on anything else. You know, Brandon actually wanted to do it, but in reality, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What are we gonna do? Sue Vada or do whatever? You know, nothing we could do anyway. Nothing we could do for a trade or whatever.
There's an arbitration process. You test the B sample. You see if that confirms the first result.
There might be, but we're.
That's working to
get ready my fighter for the fight, and we don't know about none of this arbitration. Like I said, Cameron never advised us to do anything like that. He never told us to follow up on that process.
But
so
here's the thing: hang on 1 second, Dave. You guys have been given an administrative process to protest. You can test a B sample and VADA.
Yes, I understand.
Hang on a sec, Rob. But you guys decided not to. But at the same time, you're trashing people in the media and not really giving them their due process. And you're getting facts wrong. That's not really fair, is it?
You know what? Whatever's fair or not fair, I'm doing my work. I don't know nothing about, you know, you just told me that I'm not even bad at the goes and does it. I have no idea who the fuck goes and who doesn't go.
Well, you guys have been telling me about it, right? Like you did. That's the thing, and I'm kind of telling you, like, that's really not fair to them. You're acting like you guys are being vilified while vilifying other people. So, like, Paulie Malignaggi coming on the radio last week, calling me a vigilante and then throwing Manny Pacquiao out under the bus without a shred of proof. It's kind of like, you know, stay in your lane. In this case, too, trace is a scientific term. Everybody that gets caught with a banned substance in their system has a trace of it. Nobody ever gets caught with the whole thing in it because you take it, your body metabolizes it, and what's left is a metabolite, and within that there are traces of the substance. So trace is, and it's also qualitative.
Brandon is a fighter. I'm a trainer. I have no idea what all those things are and everything. We have a manager. Our manager did not follow up or not tell us to do it, so we didn't do nothing about it. But Brandon, both you
and Brandon have used that as excuses, that it's not a big deal because it's only a trait. And I'm telling you that this is a qualitative process, meaning there is no legal allowance for that substance in your body. You can't have a trace, you can't have a lot, you can't have any, and he had some.
I understand.
Where do you think it came from?
I'm sure.
Where do you think the thing came from? He said an energy drink or a dirty glass or both. Where do you think it came from?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know what he drinks. I don't know what he takes. I don't know. I train him.
But you're there, aren't you, though, Robert? Aren't you there? I mean, you're there supervising him. I mean, we just want to understand. Like, I mean, if my name was in the mix, and I knew that, you know what, we were doing right. This is completely wrong. This is not right that people are accusing us or this test came out. I would want to clean out my name regardless. And if my attorney didn't advise me, I would be picking up the phone, calling them, saying, hey, why are you not doing your job? Right? I mean, you know what I mean? So I want to ask you, I mean, you keep saying I'm just a trainer, but at the same time, you're more than just a trainer to these guys. I mean, serve me if I'm wrong, but these guys look up to you like almost as a big brother or a father figure. So why the very candid type of like tone? Well, I'm just a trainer. I mean,
do you train fighters?
I don't train fighters, brother, but I have kids and I would take care of them to do this. You know what I mean?
You have kids?
I have kids.
Totally different. You live with your kid. You don't live with the fighters. I could train my fighter 2 hours a day. I could train him the hardest I've ever trained, but then he could go home, and instead of going home, he could go to a bar, drink beer, just snort some coke, smoke some weed, and that's not. I have no control over that.
That's true.
That's That's absolutely true.
I have no control of that. So then, you know, I'm asking, you have kids,
but I'm asking, man,
your kids could be smoking pot and you don't even know.
No, absolutely.
And if you find out, then you're the one to be blamed. Are you going to be, you know, you're going to help them out, but you're not going to be, you know, something they choose to do on their own with friends. You know what I mean?
Well, look, I'll tell you this. I can have control of
30 fighters in my gym.
No,
I can have 30 fighters in my house.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. But at the same time, if my kids are doing drugs and they bring drugs in the house and the cops come in, they sit and they arrest me and him, and I know for a fact there is no drugs in the house or I'm clean, I think I would want to prove that I'm in the right, right? Or do I just sit back and say, no, you know what, there's nothing I can do? That's my only question to you. I mean, I'm just wondering, why wouldn't you, not Brandon, not nobody else, but why wouldn't you want to protest it now? Now that you know the information you have now, why wouldn't you, would you want to go protest it now knowing what you know now?
I still don't know how it really goes. And I honestly, like I'm telling you, Brandon's going to be fighting. No big deal. Brandon's going to fight. Brandon's going to keep fighting. My fighters are fighting. We're staying busy. That's all that matters to me.
It doesn't concern you that Brandon, he told us that he had a contract with Ariza that if he tested positive, he would not get paid. Rios told us that he had a contract with Ariza that if Rios tested positive for a banned substance, that Ariza would not get paid. And he said on the show last week that Ariza did not get paid. Does that concern you? Did you know about that? But, I mean, in terms of he works with your other fighters. Alex, does that concern you?
Having he works with that?
Ariza works with your other fighters. I'm just curious if that concerns you at all.
It looks like it's something that you have against Ariza, but, you know, for 6 years or 7 years...
I don't have
years,
anything
was,
against Alex.
That he was working with Ferry Rose, nobody ever said anything. Everybody always
that's
gave
That's actually not true, though.
Look at what he did with Pacquiao. Look at what he did with Pacquiao. Look at everything that Pacquiao did. You're going to tell me something was wrong with Pacquiao? Or he was doing something illegal?
Robert, you're trying to tell me that I haven't done something that I've done.
Are you going to tell me he was doing something illegal with Pacquiao?
If you'd let me answer it, I would answer it.
Tell me.
Elie Sekpak, your guys' publicist, has video. He took the video himself.
He's not my publicist.
Yeah, he is. And he has video of me. He shoots your reality show, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, but
he's not
my publicist. I don't pay him to do what he does. So he's not my
okay,
publicist.
Fair enough. Then he's your guys' fan, and he films all your
he's
videos.
My friend.
Regardless,
he's my friend. Yeah.
He filmed me asking Manny Pacquiao. I'm the only reporter I know that's done this. And this was during that reign when Alex was with him. If he'd ever knowingly taken or been in the presence of HGH, testosterone, or EPO. I asked him that point blank. I did follow-up. I've asked Manny many times about the testing. I've asked his people about the testing. The reason Alex chased me to that parking lot is because I was asking about Alex and his potential background. Don't tell me what I have or haven't done. I did it long before he ever got to your camp. This is not personal. This is business.
And we've asked him on the radio, too, Robert. We've asked him numerous times. So his claim of us never asking questions is just complete false. It's nothing personal. It's just questions we want to ask. You know what I mean? And you know what? We applaud you for coming on here to answer the questions we got. You know? It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, hey, it's our job to ask, right? Just like your job to train, it's our job to ask.
Right. So
how do you feel about working with Chavez Jr.? I know you've kind of wanted the gig for a while, and I think it's a really nice match. What do you think you can do with him?
Well, I'm still not with him, you know, until the day that, you know, that I land and I start working with him, then, you know, I'll see exactly what working with him is. You know, I know he's got a lot of potential, and I know he's one fighter that could do great things, you know, great fights. So yeah, I'm excited about it, and I'm actually looking forward to it. But you know, hopefully this fight will show a little bit of improvement, and most importantly, in the future fights, the bigger fights, the more dangerous fights. I think this fight, if things go the way I was seeing him in Santa Monica last week, I think he should be able to win, you know, convincingly without any doubt. But more importantly, is for the future fights, the big fights ahead of. ahead of them.
Hey, let me ask you this. How do you, because, you know, every trainer he's got with him, he's been able to come in with the star power and basically make up his own rules of time and where he's going to train. How do you stop him from doing that with you?
Well, the only way I'm going to stop him and I can stop him is when we're in Oxnard. Because if I'm in Oxnard training, right now I have nobody training in Oxnard that's fighting anytime soon, or else I wouldn't be going to Mexico. I have no, for the whole month of February, I have no fight. The closest fight is going to be in April. So I'm able to take a trip to Mexico and try to get, you know, used to him and so he could get used to me and the way we work out, the way he works out. I want to learn from him. He's going to learn from me. But if he was an athlete, I wouldn't be able to do it. If I train my Don at 10 in the morning, Brandon at 12, Mikey at 2, Donaire at 4, so I wouldn't be able to take that from him. If I'm going to be in Mexico with him, we have all day. If he wants to train at 2, but he doesn't wake up till 4, then I'll be training him at 4. But I, you know, because he's the only one I'm working with, I could pretty much, if he wants to sleep for another 2 hours, I'll sleep for another 2 hours too. But if it's an option when I'm busy with all my fighters, then he does have to train at a certain time and he has to show up at a certain time. If he likes to train at 2 but doesn't show up till 4, then I'll have his time to be at 4 instead of 2.
When it comes to, because obviously he's been having a lot of problems with his weight, you know. When it comes to his weight, and I know, you know, you're the trainer and all that, but do you allow him to bring in the people that have been working with them originally with his weight, or do you bring in the people that you've worked with already with to help him out with his weight, who he's already familiar with?
I'm not going to make any changes. I'm the one coming in. I'm just going to be there as his trainer, but I want to see, like I said, this is the first fight that I want to see how everything goes. You know, he looked pretty thin last week here in Santa Monica, and in great shape. So if he has no problem making weight, why am I going to make any changes? I want to see that things are going right. He fought really good and looked really good. So far it looks good. You know, his next 2 weeks,
is he kind of
3 weeks
like
before
a,
the fight.
Is he like a Chavez, or is he like a Maidana in that people look at him and go, just a raw brawler? But there's actually more in there. There's more of a boxing IQ than people give him
there's
credit
lot,
for.
There's a lot more in there. There's a lot more in there. You know, he's young. He's young, and he's if he wants to learn, he's got the potential of being great. You know, but it's all up to him. I think with Maidana was already pretty much looking to retirement. Already tired of the sport. Already had a lot of mistakes in him that are very hard to change and to improve. With him, he's young, and he already is a better fighter than the Maidana that came to me 2 years ago. Chavez already is a better fighter, so I think it should be a lot easier with Chavez if he listens. Maidana came and listens to everything I tell him. If I tell him, you know, to run 3 hours, he'll run 3 hours. If I tell him to spar 30 rounds, he'll spar 30 rounds, because he does whatever I tell him to do. He listens to everything I tell him. So if Chavez does the same and follows instructions, then Chavez has the potential of being one of the best champions of that Mexico has ever produced, maybe next to his dad.
Let's go in a little bit about Chino, man. No, go ahead, Gabriel.
Yeah, you read my mind. No, go ahead.
I want to thank Chino about the Chino hump, that new dance that he made against Broner. Because every chance I get, bro, I go to anybody and I start doing the Chino hump on them when I'm excited. So,
you know, it was something that was never planned. It was just the instinct. Broner did it to him. Chino just got him back, you know, at a better moment. You know, when Broner did it, it was like, oh, man, you don't do that in boxing. That's kind of rude. That's disrespectful.
Right.
But the way Maidana did to him, it was like everybody cheered him. Man, I go back and I watch that fight over and over, and I rewind, you know, that incident. And, man, I see in the crowd, even the judge scoring the fight was laughing about it. You know, you could see everybody sitting ringside was, you know, just happy about it. Because it was, you know, it was just the right time and the right person to do it to.
I'm telling you right now, you guys need to capitalize on that, dude. I mean, you remember the Humpty Hump dance? You got to have the Chino dance. Mm-hmm. You guys should be making a music video about it and trying to get it out there, you know. But I know that he's on the sweepstakes of the Floyd Mayweather, and there's a lot more fans kind of leaning towards Chino getting that fight. how confident are you guys in getting that fight? And let me ask you this right after that with that question. My follow-up question to that is, obviously, Broner's not Mayweather, so you guys got to go in with a different game plan. Was that your guys' first thought, is not to really bank on what you did to Broner because Floyd is a different creature in the ring?
Look, if the fight happens, it happens, and we'll be ready. We'll train, and we'll train like never before because it's the biggest fight of his career, and plus, we're fighting the best fighter on the planet. That's just something that's not going to be easy. We understand that. So we have to, if it happens, we're not praying for it. We're not, because if it doesn't happen, then we'll rematch Broner. We'll fight somebody else. We're still going to be fighting. There's no big deal. If Mayweather picks somebody else, then, hey, that's his decision. We can't, we can't force nobody to do anything. That's up to Mayweather. He has the power to do whatever he wants. But if he does pick Chino, then, hey, we're going to train hard and we're going to try to come up with a good game plan, watch his fights and my job is to study a lot of Mayweather fights and go from there. Before Maidana for Broner, most of the boxing experts or critics or boxing people said that Broner was the next Mayweather. Everybody was saying that, that he could be the next
right.
Mayweather, that he had all the potential, that he had everything. And now Maidana beat him the way he did and, pretty much embarrassed him. And now, oh, no, he was nowhere near Mayweather, or nowhere near what Mayweather has done. It's just the way it is. It's just the way boxing is.
Well, let's be honest, though. Nobody expected him to really polish up the way you got him in there. I mean, because he did some subtle things in there that I never seen him do. And since he's been with you, yeah, he came out. I mean, he really impressed, man. He really did.
I just told you, Maidana is one fighter that listens to everything I tell him. If he comes to the gym today and I tell him, look, Maidana, today you're just going to spar one round. He won't even ask why. He'll do one round and that's all he'll do. It. That's all I want him to do. He came to learn. He's a student. He's one of my best students I've ever had because he listens to everything I tell him. He follows instructions. He does whatever I tell him to do. If I tell him today he's going to spot 30 rounds, he won't even ask why. He'll do 30 rounds. You know what I mean? He's a student. That's why he's getting better and better.
If you're Adrian Broner, his team, do you avoid that rematch, certainly an immediate rematch, and rebuild the guy at a different weight? That was a devastating loss, or it could be.
Hey, but I also, you got to also respect, because that's what he wanted, and that's what he wants, the immediate rematch, and then you got to respect that, that's a real warrior, too, that wants to get back at the guy who beat him, and the way he lost. I think it's great, so if the rematch happens, I think it's going to be a more difficult fight, because Broner's going to come with a different plan, he's going to fight different. We're going to train to fight Broner, but we don't know what Broner we're going to see, what different Broner we're going to see. We might think it's the same Broner, and we might train the same way, and he might surprise us. So it's a more difficult fight. Honestly, it is.
Respect
you guys are certainly in a great position with Maidana. I mean, if you don't get the Floyd Mayweather fight, you can obviously get the rematch with Broner, or you wait for Garcia to see where he goes. And Amir Khan, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I'm not sure if he's going to even get that fight. I don't think a lot of people want to see that fight, to tell you the truth.
Right now I think at Walshwood, I think Maidana is in the right team, with the right promoter, with the right management team to get all those big fights. They've done a great job with all the fighters that they have, and they're building them up to be superstars. Maidana, with his win, became a superstar. So now, it's up to his management team, his promoters. But yeah, there's so many fights out there. That could happen. That are all going to be great. That are all going to be big fights.
Before I let you go, I got one more question for you, man. I got to ask you about your brother Mikey Garcia and Yorkis Gamboa. With Mikey's last performance, he's very strategic. And he's really patient. Do you think that's going to work against a Gamboa, a guy that's kind of explosive? But in reality, he hasn't looked that explosive in his last previous fights, though. What's your thoughts?
Well, I haven't really paid attention to his last previous fight, but definitely if the fight is made, we're going to have to do it. We'll study his last few fights and go from there. And yes, he, you know, when he was coming up, when he was champion at featherweight, he was very explosive. Mikey could also be explosive. Mikey has shown that when he fights fighters that are aggressive and that, you know, throw punches or come after him, he does what he does, you know, like he did against Salido, like he did against Juanma. But, you know, one fight, you know, he has, what was it, I think 11 in a row, all by off stoppage, or that, you know, if we don't want to count the Salido fight, by 11 in a row, off stoppage, and, you know, now he fights very careful. The guy is pretty much moving around and surviving, and Mikey wins the decision. And, you know, and now, you know, we've heard about, you know, Mikey should have done this, should have done that, could have done better. Yes, I also understand, but it was a fight that it was just hard to do what everybody expected. But if we do fight Gamboa, you know, then, you know, we'll come out, you know, sit down with my dad and come out with a good game plan. I'm sure people are going to enjoy a great fight if that fight is made.
Well, again, brother, I want to thank you for taking the time to chop it up with us here on Leaving the Ring Radio. And now with the information that you do know about earlier in this interview, I hope you decide to protest it, man, so that you can clear up your name.
Well, you know, it's something that I talked to Brandon. You know, Brandon actually, you know, he did want to, but we never got the go ahead and do it. You know, from it, nobody, you know, not our promoter, not our manager, nobody. Nobody supported us on that. So I honestly, you know, this might sound kind of wrong, but I honestly think that it was probably a setup, you know, from the promoter to the managers that just don't want Arisa in our camp. I think it was a setup. We honestly believe that, you know, that it was probably a setup. But, you know, right now we just leave that in the past. Brandon's going to fight. Mikey continues to fight. My Dana looks sensational. Mikey's going to continue looking good. And our team is already what it is. We're not going to change anything. That's our team, and we're going to continue to win.
Do you think it's a setup that somebody gave Brandon Rios the Jack 3D energy drink?
You know what? No, not that somebody gave Brandon. No, definitely not. We just think somehow or some way we think it's a setup. You know, we just think, you know, then, you know, from what we've said, everything that we've said and everything that we've said on, you know, on interviews or whatever articles, came back and said something different. You know, pretty much they also kept, you know, stay quiet. They haven't said nothing either. So we just continue to fight. You know, Brian's right in the gym. Brian's going to be fighting sometime in May or June, and like nothing ever happened. You know, he's going to be back in the ring and like nothing ever happened. So that's all that matters to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, theories are theories and stuff, but what's on paper is what kind of counts. That's the bad part about it. You know what I mean? But, hey, brother, thanks again for speaking to us. It was a pleasure. Hope to talk
to
you again.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Good travels. Right. Bye-bye. Dave?
Well, there you go, fight fans. Robert Garcia, trainer of Brandon Rios and Marcos Madonna, Mikey Garcia, and hopefully soon with Julio Cesar Chavez. A lot to take in. You know, I mean... I think there's a lot of denial. I think that's just a fair word to say about it. A lot of denial, and there's a lot of, like, I don't want to believe we were tested, just like the theory of they were set up or sabotaged. But,
well,
you know, hey, they have their reasons not to protest it.
It goes to – it's why I mentioned Ryan Braun, because ultimately he recanted. But he got a good lawyer. They attacked the chain of custody. They had issues with it. The guy stored it in a fridge and this, that, the other thing. It couldn't be that I cheated, you know, even though this test, which doesn't ever have false positives, pretty much says that I did. And they go and go and go. I'm talking about Ryan Braun's CIR test, not this DMAA test. But I've also not seen any false positives on that and people winning, you know, their arbitration. But, you know, it goes back to Rio saying, hey, yeah, I took this thing. That thing is known to have it in it. You tested positive for it. You said you did it in China, just like you were doing it in the States, altering, you know, at different points during camp. You tested positive for it. Now, the process, all that, I mean, what you're saying is that somebody had DMAA on a drinking glass. I mean, like, did they not wash it out? Did they not grab one of the hotel glasses that might have been clean? I find it hard to believe that the guy was like, my only option is that glass that you were drinking out of right now. You know, empty it out and let's put your piss in it. It doesn't – the story doesn't hold up. I mean, even just typing it up over these last couple of days, the story doesn't hold up. And even here, it was like – like I said to Garcia, it's really not fair to sit there and say, well, you know, all this stuff happened. We do have an opportunity to protest, but we decided not to. But let me take a parting shot and say that we were set up by our promoter or the company. Let me, you know, slander them, but I'm not going to give them the same process that they gave me to prove me wrong. It's just not how it works, you know, and to me, every time somebody's tried to win in the media that way, they've always failed. Ryan Braun ultimately got caught up in the biogenesis stuff, which is what he was doing in the first place, and had to come clean and take a 50-game suspension and, like, you know, tens of millions of dollars lost and all credibility. And he had to apologize, and he kind of weakly apologized to the person who he vilified, which was that sample collector. It never really worked out for the people that do that. So that's why, you know, claiming you don't know, I can understand that as a trainer. But it's interesting, you know, I mean, he points back to Pacquiao and all them when they were with Ariza with an almost certainty that something was wrong. But why didn't anybody say that? But all of a sudden we're doing it and it's wrong because of Ariza. Why would it be because of Ariza? He's only got that one positive test with DMAA. And that, and just the fact that he said, I found out on the 3rd, well, when I talked to him on the morning of the 13th, so this is the very first I've ever heard of it. And he gave the same quote to the writer who ended up breaking it, Tim Smith, the first I've ever heard of it. Well, he just told us right now that that's not true. He found out on the 3rd. So if that's not true, what else isn't true? I guess would be my point. Interesting interview.
Another thing. Yeah, very interesting interview. And here's another thing to take to note is that trainers, cut men, or even the fighters themselves, the number of fighters and trainers and cutmans that we have spoken to, some of them will claim the blind side, the blind eye. Okay, you know, like, well, I wasn't aware of that. But and then when you're told, though, see, that's the thing where it kind of puzzled me. Is like, okay, well, I just found out this information. I think I need it. And just with me, my instinct would be like, well, I better kind of catch up to what's going on then. I need to start looking into what's out there because I'm certainly – I try to be an honest person that I can be. So I need to catch up and make sure that I'm on the right track and I'm doing the right things because I don't want to be under the gun. I don't want to be on a microscope. So we got to give whoever we can in the interview the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, you know, you got to kind of leave it for whoever's tuning in to kind of make a judgment of what they believe. And that's the thing. That's why I keep pressing for the protests. I mean, I'm not calling him a liar. I'm not saying that he didn't know. I'm not saying that he wasn't educated to the bad testing and the procedures and what happened in New York and the rules and stuff. But here are now the facts. And it should give you a much more of an outlook of what was in front of you that you weren't really clear about. Because you didn't have the right people giving you the right information. And that's why I kind of mentioned, too, that if I was him, and, of course, he don't have to do any of this. We're not saying he has to prove that he's innocent. That's up to him. That's up to him and his career and his people. But if I was in his position, I would certainly be calling, making some serious calls about clearing up my name. I mean, listen. Saying I'm a trainer, I'm not with my fighters 24/7. Absolutely right, you know. And I'm saying, you know, I'm a father. I have kids, and he's absolutely right. You're not with them all the time. But if my kids come home every day, and they bring in something, and it's in their room, and they get popped for it, and they arrest me and him, well, I certainly want to be able to prove that I'm not bringing drugs into my house. My name is clean, you know. But what does that say to me about me as a father, right? I'm not doing the right thing beside my kids, not educating them. You know, I mean, I guess all I can say is my only problem with the whole I'm just a trainer thing is It's just a way of saying, well, he's on his own. I'll take care of me. He takes care of him. I thought, what happened to the team? Anyways, I do appreciate, though, you know, unlike other guys out there that won't come on Leaving the Ring to talk to us, I don't think that we were too hard on him. I thought that we was definitely just asking some questions and clarified that it's our job to ask these questions, just like it's their job to do their thing, whatever they're assigned to. It's our job to ask questions, you know. So, again, open invitation, Yorkies Gamboa, Alex Ariza, Memo Heredia. Love to get you on. Love to get you on and ask you questions, you know. You're going to give us your answer, you know, whether it's true or not, and we're going to have to take it.
Yeah. And, again, it's business. I may go about my business passionately, but it's business. What Ariza tried to do with me, you know, chasing me down or threatening me over the phone or threatening me third party over the phone, that's personal. But it's personal that from his side, that comes from the way I conduct my business, I guess, in looking into him. No one else is doing it. And today, I guess, I just had to finally own it, because it's like, look, you can't tell me that I've got something personal against Alex Ariza when you don't know the facts. You know his side of it. You haven't bothered to ask me. He didn't ask me, like, why was he chasing you? I wasn't chasing Alex. Alex was chasing me. And if you were there that day, you would see that he actually stopped halfway through. And I said, I still got questions for you. I'm looking into you for this specific reason. And the chase began again. And when it was over again, I said, we can interview. I'll be in touch. We can talk. You have my number. You can call me. It's business. You know, my business is a little more perilous than other people's, but it's business nonetheless. So don't tell me I got a problem with Alex Ariza. He's got a problem with me. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, I wasn't going after them because of Alex Ariza. It started, that article, me looking into what was going on in that corner, and then turned into the possibility, and then it stumbled into something that I ended up asking them about. And they flat out told me, yeah, well, this is how we use it. Well, that's actually illegal. Thank you for telling me that it's not legal. You've been cheating for a long time unbeknownst to yourselves, I guess.
Well, let's kind of explain the whole New York. Let's get into the whole New York rules.
Thanks.
I mean, you know, his son did tweet out, you know, and like he said, you know, well, I've been doing this for very long. And I think he's absolutely right. The New York Commission's dropped the ball about a rule that it's not new. It wasn't added. This wasn't really directed to one team, as you know, even though that's what they want to think. There are a number of rules that the commissioners and other state commissions don't follow through and enforce. So let's kind of explain this, because when that was tweeted out, a lot of fans were jumping on that. They're like, oh yeah, because you guys are winning, blah blah blah. But the New York State Commission did email you back. And well, sent you a letter about, because you questioned them too. Is this a new rule? Was this a new rule? Was this added?
Yeah, I mean, this is about, I'm looking up the email right now, and here it is. This is my initial. I said, what are your, you know, thoughts on the use of epinephrine as a preventative measure? You know, meaning it sits in the guy's nose, and before the fight to prevent a nosebleed, you know, or during a fight, you know, when you don't see a nosebleed, but it goes in a guy's nose and you hear a guy say, breathe in, things like that. So this is their initial response. This is before the fight, in like a week before. It was January 16th. Thank you for contacting the NYSAC. We permit the use of epinephrine/adrenaline only for the treatment of open lacerations on the face and or actual nosebleeds through a cotton swab applied into the nose. The drug is applied to constrict the blood vessels and stop bleeding. All other uses of epinephrine, adrenaline, and or other applications of the substance are prohibited in the sport of professional boxing in the state of New York per the policy of the NSAC. Now, then I asked them again to follow up, and I, after seeing the tweets and everything, it was like, well, did you guys do something new? Is a new rule in place or simply a new policy regarding the enforcement of the rules that already existed? This is what they said. There were no new rules set in place for the use of epinephrine this past Saturday night, and that the indications for use of the drug have not changed. New York State Athletic Commission inspectors were diligent in ensuring compliance with existing policies. Consistent with ABC recommendations, in the case of a cut, only the topical use, meaning putting it on the skin, use of the following is allowed. A, a solution of adrenaline, 1 to 1,000. B, abatine. C, thrombin. All other solutions are strictly prohibited. In regards to your other question, oh, never mind. I'll save that for another show. So
there you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a very legal, nice way of saying, you know, we've been screwing up for years, but now we're putting an emphasis on, you know, controlling the rules as they're being written.
And let's explain, because, you know, we didn't interrupt Robert, because we did, you know, what we wanted to do was give Robert a chance to really speak his mind and his side and kind of get a feel of where he was coming from. But there's a lot of misinformation that that's being fed to him. And one of them is that the epirin, it doesn't do anything for you. And that's not entirely true. It does affect certain people different ways, and not every fighter or every person doing it is going to have the same effect, but there are some effects, and I'm going to let Gabriel break that down, you know, so that I don't do all the talking. Go ahead, Gabriel.
The breaking down of the sorry, I was answering a text. It happened. Breaking down of what epinephrine does and all that? Is that what you need? Sorry.
Yeah, because he said, you know, it doesn't do anything for my fighter. It doesn't do anything for a fighter. And that's not necessarily true, because there are effects to it. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the same type of effect to each individual, you know, whoever takes it. It does affect each individual differently. And I like you to point out some of the stimulant effect that it does cause for some folks when they do inhale it.
Okay, this is basically what it is. What epinephrine is a powerful central nervous system stimulant when inhaled. And it's hard to tell me that you're going to put something in your nose, but you're not inhaling it. You're not breathing it in at all because you're breathing through your mouth. I mean, coat your nose with anything and tell me that you're not breathing it in at some point and say, oh, you can only breathe through your mouth. That, and when you're watching the video of Mikey Garcia with things in his nose on the HBO video, his mouth is closed. He's getting his hands taped, and the plugs are in his nose. So, I mean, I'm not seeing a guy openly like, whatever you do, don't breathe through your nose with this. You know, we're only here constricting the blood. I mean, I'm not calling him a liar, but, I mean, there was already one inaccuracy in the interview right off the bat. I heard about this on the 3rd. Oh, that's weird, because on the 13th, when I first asked you, you said this is the first I ever heard about it. So I have a problem there. Again, I'm not accusing people of cheating, but they also at the same time said, we've been doing this for years. I've been doing it since I was a pro. I do it with all my amateurs. Well, the way you're doing it is not legal. It's not allowed in professional boxing. It's definitely not allowed in amateur boxing. So what is the effect of it? In a test that we conducted at a nearby gym, people did say that they felt the power of the stimulant, that when they were inhaling it, and it didn't take much. You get high. You get pumped up. Your heart races. It has all the effects of what a stimulant does. So that was the point, is don't tell me it's not doing anything. Why have you been doing it for 20 years? I mean, is it just for nosebleeds? I don't know. It's a slippery slope. It's one of those weird ones.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's against the rules. So it really isn't a slippery slope. Using it in this way is against the rules. End of story. And when we were first bringing it up to them, getting all kinds of threats, Robert's bringing up my wife, telling us, hey, you know, why don't you come up to the gym and we'll show you how to do it, which I didn't take as a friendly invite. And then when it turned around that we were right, no apologies, no, hey, sorry about that. Didn't mean to get personal. This is business, after all. Didn't mean to bring up your wife. So don't tell me about personal, and don't tell me about epinephrine, because clearly you don't know. Not you. You know, meaning Robert and I can't.
All right, let's just move on. I hope everybody enjoyed that interview, and hope you're able to pick what you want to believe in. Like a few tweets about last week's show, you know, saying that obviously Brandon Rios was lying. That's not up to us to say who's lying, who's not. It's really our job to get him on here, interview him, do the ask them the best questions that we can, and they can get the and get them give us the answers that they feel is going to be the right answers. And it's up to the listeners to judge what they feel and think after it's all completely done. Now, talking about that, Victor Ortiz got back into the ring, got knocked out by Luis Collazo. Did we talk about this last week? I can't remember, man.
We talked about it several times, you and I, but no, we haven't talked about it yet because it was Thursday. And yeah, no.
Oh, and you know, we did talk about it. We talked about it at the end of the show. You know, what I want to talk
theory
about.
Is, yeah,
I did talk about
it was happening.
Right. Oh yeah, exactly. You know, and he did get knocked out, and it was in good fashion by Luis Collazo. And you know what? It made such a buzz that a lot of people were jumping up and down after the stoppage of Victor Ortiz. I got to tell you this, man. He's got to hang it up. We've said this. He's not a fighter no more. He's a movie star, and he's definitely got a career after boxing. So hang him up. Don't let that pride sting. Allow the kid to walk through the sunset and not get brain damage or hurt, man. We just had a fighter just pass away, 23-year-old kid, just passed away this past weekend. And this is a dangerous sport. This is a really dangerous sport, man. Whether you're healthy or you're not healthy, whether it's perfect matchmaking or mismatchmaking, this is just a dangerous sport. And we're going to have some very unfortunate times in our sport. But when you have a clear case like Victor Ortiz, where he's shown time and time that there's just something not really right there, up there clicking, and you see that, I don't know if you noticed, his footwork was really bad. Like, his feet weren't really underneath them. He was kind of falling all over the place when he would throw combinations, but then he would throw some clean combinations. But, you know, that right there told me that the fighter in him, which he had, whatever he held on to, It's basically gone. It's gone and passed, you know. And when something like that happens, the best idea, whether or not it's been a year, 16 months layoff, whether or not 16 months had a lot to do with it, which it did, it was an add to what happened to him against Luis Collazo. But there's a lot more that you have to kind of evolve with that. So My thought and my thing is like, hey, hang it up, allow the kid to walk away and move on from there. That's what I say. That's what I think, you know, because you know what? Just allowing him to continue in boxing, which I think Golden Boy is going to, you know, eventually release them from their contract. And hopefully the other promoters just don't see money in their eyes and say, well, let's pick him up because he's got a name and use him for that sole purpose, because that's what boxing does. That's what boxing business does. Not the word boxing business, but the people behind it. That's what they do. You know, they don't care about the welfare of fighters. What they do care about is the money making, and that's what comes around with Floyd Mayweather. I think a lot of folks are frustrated with Floyd Mayweather about the poll, which I thought it was hilarious that people just kind of jumped on it and bought into it. And then all of a sudden, Arislan Lara is being mentioned when, after he beat Trout, I kind of mentioned, why isn't nobody pounding or mentioning Lara's name? Because he was the number one contender, the guy that was rightfully the person that should be getting in for that 154 title that Floyd had picked up. But after everybody sees the names, which were three names, and here's the funny thing. We call Floyd the Houdini. And we've said this. We've had our rant, not even a rant, but our segment about how true the phrase that Floyd and his uncle and his team use, that you guys don't know shit about boxing, it just keeps rising. And it keeps really showing the true light of fight fans, is that you really don't know the sport of boxing. He threw out three pitchers and he fooled you guys and you bought into it. And you should have already known that after throwing out Manny Pacquiao pitcher, he just gave you some hope. He gave you that little bit of hope and then he shot you down. You know, it's just like, it reminds me of that scene where Dumb and Dumber, you remember that, with Jim Carrey asks Lauren Holly, he's all like, you know, is there any chance? And then she says, no, there isn't. Not in a million, or something like that, right? Not in a million. And then he says, so there is a chance. That's basically what Floyd did. He threw out that Manny Pacquiao picture and he just shot it down and he left us with two names. And then after you get in that poll, that flicker of light in your brain clicks like, wait a minute, hold on. We didn't think this out all the way. We didn't think this all the way through. You mean there's an actually another guy that's a counterpuncher, that's a mover, and is at 154 that could be a real threat to Floyd? And he didn't mention him? Come on, guys. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? I one time told Gabriel, I told somebody else, I said, Floyd's that one really hot chick that you're walking in the room, you meet, and she becomes that trophy wife, but she's just beautiful on the outside, and she's just dead in the inside. Doesn't do anything for you. That's what Floyd is to me.
I've stopped caring so long ago, dude. It's everybody gets really excited. Every once in a while I get pulled in. Like the Cotto fight, Cotto's greatness surprises us all. He had a little something left, and I think Floyd maybe took him a little light. Thought he'd be able to just drill him with right hands and hurt him, but he wasn't able to. And he had a great fighter with a great game plan all over him all night. It's a good fight. Since then, what have we gotten? We've gotten really safe opponents. We absolutely knew we're not going to trouble them anyway. And if they seem to be troublesome at all, well, catch weight. Let's drain them down. You know, let's laugh at how cracked his lips are. And LRB, Mr. I've never missed a meal. Let's act like I did something and laughing at Canelo. I just found that so disrespectful the way they treated him. And after knowing that they pretty much just hamstring him, you know, by making him drop an extra 2 pounds. And, you know, they could say whatever they want about negotiations. Dude, greatness doesn't need catch weights. See Robinson versus Maxim and get back to me about greatest of all time. And, you know, greatness actually takes risks. That's how you get to greatness. But Lira got great by playing it safe. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, Floyd is marketing us stuff. This is, you know, yeah, this is the Houdini leg of his tour. It really has been since that last Castillo fight. The Gotti fight, I mean, come on. Even Floyd, it was funny, it was like he was doing all these interviews before talking trash about Gotti. He's a, you know, C-level fighter, I'm an A-level fighter, and now all of his drones repeat that line over and over again about every opponent. They give them a grade. But then after the fight, he's talking to Brian Kenny. Oh, come on, you know, I told everybody Gotti was the truth. And he started laughing when Brian called him on it because he knew it wasn't true. But you know, the bottom line is it doesn't matter because the money spends the same. Your money spends the same because you keep spending your money on crappy fights. You know, it's why I always kind of point out, you know, Transformers 2, you know, the Transformers series is a multi-billion dollar organization. Those movies, you know, could fund a small country. They're garbage. But people keep going because they like seeing the shinies, you know, oh, look at the robot changing this, you know, a car and back again. And in this, yeah, you can see Floyd do his thing. He shuts a guy out. He talks a lot of trash on 24/7 or whatever, the, you know, all access. But what are you getting for your money? Do you have that much money that you're willing to blow it on things like this? In the media, do you have that much time that you can waste it on Floyd scratched his ass today or Manny kind of mentioned something? I mean, are we tired of this story yet? That fight's never going to happen. When it does, it won't matter because that was 3 years ago, 4 years ago when that fight mattered. Doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't matter.
Whoever
Let's
Floyd
talk
fights,
about.
I mean, he's giving you an option of two guys. Which guy do you want to see me beat? This guy or that guy? How about Lara? How about Kirkland? I would take Kirkland over both of these guys. I know people don't think much of him, but I would pay for those 5-6 rounds. I'd pay good money to see those 5 or 6 rounds over 24 with Khan and Maidana.
Even though Canelo and Angulo shouldn't be pay-per-view, guess what? I'm going to be happy to pay for that rather than Floyd facing, you know, Khan. Yeah, I mean, at least we know we're going to have action, you know. Let's talk about some stuff that is relevant. Let's talk about some stuff that really does matter here. You know, speaking about Canelo and Angulo, this is a good matchup. Really good matchup.
It is.
You know, I even though both guys are coming off a loss, here's the thing with Angulo. What impressed me about him, we talked about this numerous times in the previous when he had faced Lara, is he was really going after Lara, who was a counterpuncher and a mover, which Canelo tries to be. He tries to have that movement. He tries to be that counterpuncher, but the Mexican in him sometimes doesn't allow him where he does need to stick around. And but you know what too. His legs are so thick and heavy that he doesn't have the movement. He just can't be that graceful in the ring. And that's going to really pan good for Angulo. It's going to allow him to put the pressure on him, make Canelo fight, make Canelo spend energy, and really push him to that next limit, which Trout tried to do with Canelo when they faced each other. He really did try to make Canelo throw more of an output, trying to exude more energy, But it didn't work because he didn't have the power to break down Canelo. Where Angulo, even though he is slow-footed, I thought he was doing tremendously well cutting the ring off with Laura and using exactly what he has to offer. He made whatever looked normal and slow, Angulo made look great against Laura, even though he had, you know, got punched in the eye and he turned around and he basically quit in the ring from the big welt in his face. So this is a much better fight. I think we're going to find out a lot more about Canelo with this Angulo fight than we did with the Floyd Mayweather fight, because that was just way premature. We had said it numerous times. It was too soon for the kid. He needed more time to build, not as a brand, but as a fighter. Robert Alcazar, who used to be the trainer of De La Hoya, he came on. He said the exact same thing. They said, listen, they're doing a great job marketing him, but they haven't done a great job, Golden Boy, that is. They haven't done a great job building him as a fighter. And getting the Angulo, it's almost they're going backwards. You know, the Angulo fight should have been first or another tougher fight before the Floyd. But, hey, it's never too late, you know, for never. I mean, they're finally kind of waking up and thinking about it, and they're doing it. The only thing that sucks is, like I said, it's going to be on pay-per-view. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I would throw this, too. I actually watched Angulo train yesterday on the racetrack, which is pretty funny to watch Angulo do sprints. But he's a hard worker, man, and he's right there with world-class athletes, you know, and doing these crazy different exercises and sprint training and band work, like these heavy bungee bands that they run with around their waist that kind of hold them in place, and they do different things. And, you know, he's far out from the fight. He's, what, a month out from the fight. I think he's in a real good place physically. He seems to have good energy. And his two losses are to southpaws. Sal Alvarez isn't a southpaw. A pretty predictable right-hander. So that should be something that's interesting. And I want to correct something earlier. Khan hasn't been stopped three times. He's been stopped twice. But he's been dropped and he's been wobbled by, you know, Julio Diaz dropped him, wobbled him. Marcos Maidana hurt him pretty badly, had him, you know, backpedaling the whole back end of that fight. But he's been knocked out twice. None of those times has happened at 47. We don't know what he's like as a welterweight. Marcos Maidana has lost at 47. He's also won at 47. But against his biggest win is against a green kid who's new to the weight class and really isn't as good as he was being marketed. I mean, I think, you know, Maidana's that guy that if you judge wrong, he's going to get your guy. Look at Victor Ortiz. Look at Adrian Broner. You know, two very similar cases. But is he good enough to beat Floyd Mayweather? I don't know. Has he given enough to the sport to earn that fight? Yeah, I think you could say so. You know, as good, you know, he's been marketed as well as you probably could with him. Although he's an interesting personality. He has a lot to say. He just doesn't get a chance to say it. He doesn't speak in English. And so we don't market them, you know, as strongly. But, I don't know. I mean, I still say that both fights are just fights that Floyd would easily win. Now, I know that's kind of, you know, doesn't make sense because Maidana has fought himself into this position. But styles make fights, and I don't think of him as a true 147-pounder any more than I thought of Adrian Broner as that. I thought he would grow into that, but they rush him into that. There's a difference. They didn't lose his body acclimate.
Yeah,
he just wanted to be at 47. I think it was bad chess on their part. I think they wanted to get Broner in that position, maybe get a big win, then he moves down to 40, leaves that belt open, Keith Thurman moves in and takes it. And Marcos Maidana screwed up their plans. I think that's what happened.
NFL fans are asking for Keith Thurman for that matchup. I'd say that's too soon, too. You know, let's stop rushing these fights. Fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. We're going to pass in some fight fans right now, talk some boxing. And then a little bit later, I want to talk a little bit about Danny Garcia and Mauricio Herrera. I think that's a really good matchup. I know some fans are like, no, I don't want to see that. Why is that fight happening? But I'm going to give you my take and my breakdown of why this is a good fight, man. This is a good move for Garcia. So let's pass in some fight fans here on Leave the Ring really quick. Let's go area code 509. You're on live right now on Leave the Ring. What's on your mind? I think somebody's
is that Chef Rod? Dyson some onions?
Let's go area code 212. You're on live right now on Leave the Ring. What's on your mind?
What's going on, fellas? This is Richard from the box. Hello?
What's going on, Richard?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Listen, I have a question. I was watching the Super Bowl and all this stuff on boxing on PEDs. One of the frustrating things that I go through is, as a sports fan in general, is that there's so much PED talk about baseball, but yet there is really no talk about combat sports like football.
Just God, we were just talking about this.
Even more popular than football.
Me and Gabriel were just talking about this, what, last night, Gabriel? We were talking about that?
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, there was a consortium of people meeting this Tuesday in Washington, D.C. John McCain, Senator Harry Reid was there. And it was for the RUVO Center, you know, the Cleveland Clinic's brain study that they're doing. They've been doing a study on, you know, concussions and brain trauma in combat sports over the last year and a half. They've spent, I think, $2 million on the study. And they've gotten, this is crazy, 400 fighters have signed up, and their goal, I think, by the end of this year is to have like 650. The UFC showed up, meaning the Fertittas, not Dana White, Todd DeBuff of Top Rank, Richard Schaefer of Golden Boy, and there's several kind of political power players there. But that thawed the Cold War. All these guys came together. They donated a collective $600,000, which really isn't, you know, that much, like $75,000 each or something like that. All those millionaires with their multimillion-dollar companies, you know, the UFC's, I think, a $1 billion company or at least, and they came up with $600,000. That's real nice of them to donate to the RUVO Center. But what I found frightening and just kind of, I mean, what I think they're doing is great, and we're actually going to have, I think, their lead doctor on next week, hopefully. But the numbers, 400 fighters have joined up with this thing. They're going to get 650. I believe they'll get that number. Then you look at PED testing, and it's like we got, what, like 20 guys have done it? And it's a fight every time. The UFC trashes George St. Pierre for wanting to do drug testing. Bob Arum seems like he's slid in between Pacquiao and Bradley, who both have been doing VADA testing. Bradley for a few fights now, and for like two to three fights now, and Pacquiao in his last fight. But Bob wants that Nevada testing. And it, trust me, guys, it isn't as good. The standard is not as high. They don't do CIR on every sample. I'd be surprised if they do EPO on every other sample. It's not up to the standard, which is VADA's standard. I'm sorry. I don't work for them. I know it sounds like I'm defending them a lot when I'm saying, like, get the name right so you don't trash the wrong people. I'm just all about education. And it just seems strange that, okay, we'll talk about brain damage, which you can't deny. I mean, everybody's getting hit in the head. But we're going to deny drug use when everybody, a big part of the athletic event is dropping 20 pounds and then gaining it back the next day after training camp. Like, just that alone, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And nobody's talking about all the other reforms about, you know, the weigh-in day and all that stuff. So to me, you know, when they talk about brain trauma, one, I think the NFL is going to have to pony up more money than they are with the deal that just happened. I think they threw out like $700 billion. It's going to have to be more. And I'm hearing that it's going to end up being more. And like I said, I'm not minimizing brain trauma, but it does seem like PEDs is kind of the acceptable slippery slope. You should check out Conte on Jim Rome, and he was breaking down. I wrote a piece about it. I think he used some of the quotes, boxing and Victor Conte and boxing's trust issues. And it talks about him and other sports, and he talks about the NFL and how there's a very small list of banned substances, and it's almost like saying, don't take these. Take these over here and you're good. You know, it's like it's plausible deniability. Hey, I'm just a trainer. I don't know anything. And that's kind of what the NFL does. Take these here. Don't take these over there. Let's talk about brain trauma, because that's a little more popular than, you know, drug use, which ain't going to ever be stopped either, you know.
And you also check out his Fight Opinion, Zach Arnold. He wrote a great article about what the media should be talking about, but they're not, you know. Hey, thanks, bro, for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold, okay?
Okay, great, man.
Thanks for the question,
man. All right, okay, bye.
Really appreciate it.
Let's go to area code 708. You're on live right now on Leaving Ring. What's on your mind? 708, you there? Okay, let's move down the line. 714, you're on live right now on Leaving Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, guys. 714. Okay. You there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ernie, a.k.a. MC ProTech on Twitter. I tweet to you guys all the time. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for calling in. What's on
How
your
you
mind,
doing,
brother?
Man?
Oh, doing well. Just enjoying the show. As you guys know, big fan of the show. Wasn't planning on chatting with you today. Just been enjoying the show. But you know, I tweeted you guys about the interview that you did with Rios and how I felt that, you know, it seemed to me, just based on the way he was answering questions, that, you know, he seemed to know a little bit more. And I got to say, I kind of got the same feeling with Robert. You know, it's disappointing. I'm a fan of these guys, and it just sounds like, you know what I mean? It's just not, they're not being completely forthright, is the impression I get. I could be wrong. You know, that's just the impression I get.
Well, you know what? Like I said, these interviews are really for everybody to listen to, and then they kind of go off of what they feel is truth. And if I'm listening, and what's up, you know, we're listening to these interviews, I have to agree with you. To me, the way I'm looking at it is that they're looking at a situation that they're in, and rather than dealing with it, they're shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, F it, whatever. And that really just because the way I think everything is kind of done in boxing, from matchmaking to the way promoters are locking down fighters and contracts, breaking the Ali Act, from matchmakers acting like managers or being managers, breaking the Ali Act, or from managers acting like promoters, breaking the Ali Act, or Heyman saying he's an advisor and not a manager. I mean, these are just things that everybody in boxing that seems to be involved in boxing just want to shrug their shoulders and say, well, screw it. I mean, because there's no repercussion to it. There's no authority that's going to kind of point the finger. And how I took it was with my New York commission standing up and finally admitting that they were wrong. They have screwed up. This is a major screw up. It allowed Team Garcia to feel like they were being targeted at, when it's not really true. Because like he just said, and I've heard this from other trainers and cutmen, well, we use it too, and we've done it in our gym, and we've done it with our fighters before that, you know. I just kind of hope to think, this is what my hope is that they kind of came in uneducated, and now that they know, well, they don't have an excuse anymore, right?
Right. The other big topic, not to shift gears on you, but of course, is you know, the Mayweather sweepstakes. And I've been, you know, it's all over Twitter and, you know, talking to people and Google Plus and a lot of opinions out there. But I'm kind of on Team Laura, you know, if I'm going to be honest. I think Laura, you know, would be the toughest fight for Floyd. You know, you know, I think the best we've seen Floyd is against guys like Corrales, because they were a real challenge. And yes, Laura's a bigger guy, but that's what I think is going to, you know, that's what it's going to take to bring out, you know, Floyd's a master, and it's going to take a challenge like that, in my opinion, to bring out the best of them. And there's some interesting ideas about, you know, if Laura gets through, well, now Ishe's calling him out, so if he takes that fight, he gets through him, and then he takes the winner of Canelo Angulo, you know, that he earned his spot. He even tweeted that, saying that, you know, I'll earn the fight, which I respect a lot.
Right,
You guys think that fight has a chance to happen if he goes about it that way and beats, let's say, someone like Ishe or Mundeen, and then takes on the winner of Canelo Angulo and will get that fight? Or do you think that even in that case, Floyd might not take it? Or do you think catch weight might be a possibility? Do you think that might make it a reality? Or do you think there's just no way they'll take it?
Here's the reality of it is will the fight happen next? No. Could it happen? I think so, because for one, Laura is with Golden Boy. Laura is with Showtime. But the variables of him being a counterpuncher, of him being a bigger guy, of his style is a style that Floyd hasn't faced in a long time. When Floyd did face the style of a counterpuncher, he faced a smaller guy in Marquez, a smaller guy, and who also is not a mover. Marquez needs you to come to him. Laura shows that he can dance, he creates his spots, and he knows what to pick for. You know, and I think those all come against why Floyd wouldn't pick that fight. But the realistic part about it is that Floyd will make advantages for himself by maybe not asking to fight 154. Use the excuse that, like, basically what he had said, how he kind of suckered Canelo into the fight when he had did an interview saying, or he tweeted out saying, I can't make 154, I'm 147, and allow Lorda and his team to get desperate and say, well, I'll fight you at a catch weight. Those are little gimmicks that Floyd does. I mean, you got to watch when we talk about Trace, and this is not a scientific term, and in terms of how he's doing his business, this guy will throw, you look at his record, his track record, the traces that he likes to throw out there are basically illusions, and people buy into them. And you know what? He's doing whatever he's got to do to keep his hustle and keep his game and keep making the money he needs to do. But it's up to Laura. How bad do you want that fight? Because he's going to have to bend. And that's what happens when the top dog is asking for certain things. You're going to have to bend. I agree with Gabriel. Great fighters don't do that, but we're in a different time, different era. And guess what? Fighters are just a little bit more smarter than they were back in the 1950s. Gabriel?
Well, I just think it's just a lot of time spent on something that we have no control over. When we're thinking about Mayweather and who he's going to fight, you know, and I think it's easier to tell who he isn't going to fight. You pick the most dangerous guys in the surrounding divisions and eliminate all of those. And what you're left with is, okay, well, who's the most marketable? Who's known to cable companies? Who's sold tickets before? And even that doesn't matter all that much. Who can he justify fighting? Who works today, you know, as opposed to last week? I think Khan did himself a real disservice by sitting on the sideline and not fighting Devin Alexander. He would have done everything that Robert Garcia was trying to do with all those press releases and then ultimately having to fight at welterweight in one fight. If he was good enough to beat Devin Alexander, we would have all been surprised because nobody would have picked Khan, and he would have a welterweight belt and a victory that no one expected him to. And he'd be able to say, bring it, Floyd, let's do this. I'm finally at 47. I got a belt. I announced my presence with authority. And Floyd would be like, awesome. Guy's been knocked out twice. He's been beaten another time. He's been wobbled by Julio Diaz. Let's do this thing. And it would be very simple. But when Khan sat on the sidelines and Sean Porter absolutely mugged Devin Alexander and took his belt, he's not a guy that's in any position to fight Floyd. He's not built to that level yet. Experience-wise, he's just not ready for it. And Floyd knows that, so he can't really sell that fight. And there went his belt. You know, if Devin had won, you could sell that fight. And it's a winnable fight for Floyd, although southpaws aren't his thing. But again, I mean, it's just, I think it's easier and quicker to just say, who's the most dangerous guy? And then everything else after that, who gives a shit, quite honestly? And you just let it, leave it, you wait till the day when Floyd tweets it out or LLB, you know, wears it, you know, on his chest, like in shaving cream, you know, and tweets that out, or however the message gets delivered to the masses. No homo. I just think, there's not enough room in my head for Floyd Mayweather anymore when it comes to boxing. There are more important things to do.
Yeah, definitely. Ernie, thanks, man, for calling in, brother. I'm going to put you back on hold.
I appreciate it.
Good to hear from you, Ernie, man. I look forward to seeing you at the fights one of these days, but I don't know if my show's closing anytime soon, so I'll catch up with you.
Right, thanks.
Hey, no problem.
Let's go down the line again. Let's patch in area code 267. You're on live right now and Leave the Ring. What's on your mind? Area code 267, you out there? Let's go. Area code 509, you're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind? 509, you out there? What was that? Go ahead. Thought I heard him come in, but... Area code 951, you're on live right now and Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind?
Peace. Hey, do y'all know who on the undercard of that Canelo fight on March 8th? Besides
no.
Charlo?
No, I haven't heard anything, Gable. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I mean, I think they're still putting it all together at this point. But, no, I haven't checked it out. I'm remiss. I'm sorry. I'll find out, and we'll get it out to you guys. But at the moment, I mean, there's a lot of pieces moving. I think that's why. I mean, we still got a month out, but when Floyd makes his choice, when Floyd makes his choice, I think a lot of things are going to fall into place. But
I think that's what they're holding off.
I'm pretty sure it's Leo Santa Cruz and Christian Mahadas seems like it to go, and then you've got the Carlos Molina
Jermall Charlo. Man, that's the hardest name ever to say. I heard Linares was mentioned on the card, but I'm not sure. I could be wrong if that fight's happening on that card. And Omar Figueroa as well. So, but those are names. I mean, I'm looking at BoxRec, just pulling it up. BoxRec sometimes kind of jumps the gun on their news. So, you know, don't quote me on that, but that's what I understand. And I think in talking to Steve, those are the fights that I've heard mentioned as well. He's usually pretty solid on that stuff. Who do you like in that fight?
What's one? Canelo fight. I don't trust his chance. I mean, I'm still on the photo, even though I know he fought, you know, more than that. I mean, bigger guys, but this was the first big guy. And can Pedro, you know, it's going to take him a couple rounds to warm up. But I think if he touch him, but he's so easy to get hit, and Canelo throw a lot of them combinations. But when I go out there, I'm putting money on Angulo, though, because I know he got to be the underdog.
Well,
but I'm going to put some money on Angulo.
He'll be the underdog. This is the thing, is that the guys that have really hit Angulo flush, the left
punchers.
Well, but,
and
but they're like coming from the other side. And, like, I remember he kept doing this move where he would duck and then Lara would just hit him with the left. And it was like he couldn't get out of the move. And I wondered if that move was for right-handers, you know, where you're slipping the jab and then coming back with something else. And it's just muscle memory. So I'm really curious to see him in with a right-hander again. It's been a while. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, movement, give them trouble. Boxers, give him trouble.
But he's been in there, like I say, where Laura, he can move. Canelo ain't going to do too much moving. I mean, I like Canelo's body work in combinations. And in toe-to-toe, Angulo, that's his type of fight. But he's a punching bag, too, though. So, I'm chancing. Go ahead.
You know, the thing with Canelo, though, is he likes to trap himself. You know, if you put pressure on him, he likes to back himself up. He likes to play that possum. And I don't think it's going to work really good for him. I mean, it worked for him with Trout, but it's not going to work with Angulo. And I think that's the big difference is, like you said, Laura had movement. Canelo doesn't really have that movement. He's really, you know, heavy bottom. You know what I mean? He's got big legs, thick old legs and stuff, and it just doesn't allow him to be as mobile. The other thing with Canelo, what concerns me about Canelo is even when he fights in spurts, and he does that for a reason because he tires out, if Angulo comes at him hard for those 2-3 rounds, you know, even if he starts slow, even when he does start slow, he has pressure. He applies pressure by coming forward and coming forward. And what he does is tries to get that right hand to time. He's looking for the timing of that right hand to land. I think if he comes just like that, I think Canelo is going to gas out a lot sooner than we're expecting him to gas out. He's in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, Angulo been tested, though, even with the Kirkland fights. I mean, we know Angulo going to go in there. We've never seen Canelo really tested for real.
No.
That's the truth.
I agree.
We know what it takes to get Angulo out of there. It takes a possessed James Kirkland who had to ramp up a few fights. I mean, you know, and most people discredit that. It wasn't like, you know, he switched back over to Ann and all of a sudden he was back. They built him back 2-3 fights, and then it was they were ready for Angulo. That's kind of what Ann keeps talking about with this run that they're on now. Like, dude, like everybody wants him to fight Triple G. What are you guys tripping? One, we're 54, but two, let him, you know, get a few fights. Like Glenn Tapia was a perfect fight for him. Get a couple more perfect fights, and then put James in with somebody that's quality. And usually he does better at the end of those long runs. But you know, in this case. You know, and Lara had to go through hell. He had the first two knockdowns of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get up, and, you know, Virgil Hunter will keep saying that it was a thumb or whatever. I think it was just Angulo kept leaning over like that and, like, making his head into a table, and Lara kept nailing the table. Finally, he cracked it. I think that's
right.
He just broke the orbital bone, but some damage to the tissue, something, was because that same blow kept happening all night long. That's what the stuff that pisses me off. Like Virgil Hunter does that, where Robert Garcia was doing it earlier. We're not going to protest, but that was a dirty move. I'm going to slander you, but I'm not actually going to go through a process of proving it to be true. That's bullshit right there. That doesn't feel like boxing to me, but I digress. I'll have to see. You know, I'm going to watch Angulo and see the shape he gets in.
I think he's going
Even Pedro agrees in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask this too. The only way, to me, in my opinion, the only way Canelo is going to be able to get through the Mexican storm of Angulo is he's going to have to show angles, and he's going to have to work mm-hmm. that body. In order to work that body, his head's going to be vulnerable. And that's
right.
what he's got to find out about himself. Can he take a punch from a heavy hand Angulo?
Yeah.
I don't believe in it.
I mean, that 140 pounder rocked him. I know it was some years ago, but I just don't believe in it. And I think this is the first person he's fighting in his weight besides but what's with Jay the Tall Boy? Trout, he was just scared. You know, he turned on late in the fight, but if he would have put that pressure on him early, that could have been a different fight. So, I'm going to put the money on the underdog just because. I mean, win or lose, because I do like Canelo a little bit, but I'm just leery of his footwork. But I love the pressure he do put on and what type of shape he going to have. But, I mean, the money is with the underdog. And it's a good pick, though, for real.
Do me a favor, bro. Put a C-note for me. Put a C-note for me as well, and we'll split it 20-80. How about that? All right.
Thanks for the call. All right.
Canelo, thanks for the call, man. Canelo still has me in that spot of maybe I'm still willing to be convinced
hello?
That he's good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear. I said Canelo has you at that spot of hello?
Yeah, you had me at hello. Hello?
Yeah.
Is it me or – no. I'm still willing. I'm not like completely like he's – you know, he's just a marketing machine, and he's not really real. I mean, I think people put a lot on his personality that isn't there, or that may be there, but he's not giving it off. He's just staring at them blankly, and they're like, oh, the maturity, the depth, you know, the fire burning inside Canelo Alvarez. And he's literally just standing there looking at you, probably thinking, God, I'm hungry and I'm bored. You know, that stuff drives me crazy. But as a fighter, the tools are there. He's a young guy. He's been built the Mexican way. Getting him a ton of fights professionally as opposed to amateur, there's potential there, particularly when you have a solid technical foundation the way he does. So I'm willing to be won over, and I think Angulo is the kind of guy that can take him to places he's never been, and we'll find out.
Right. This is really honestly the right step to move forward to. Is it backwards in his career? Yeah. You know, it is. I mean, they built him up as a star, and the problem is a lot of fans are expecting a lot of greatness out of this kid immediately when the reality is he needed to be built as a fighter. It's just like, you know, like the rappers out there. They have the image of being a thug, and then when they're there, they're making all this money. They do things backwards. They end up getting locked up, getting gun charges and this and this and that because they're trying to keep real to the street cred, where that's kind of basically what happened with Canelo. You know, he had this the way he was marketed was this guy's a real deal. He's going to be the next big thing out of Mexico, the greatest Mexican fighter that we're ever going to witness, when we didn't even have a chance to witness it first. So this is the right step to go on and find out where this kid really stands, you know. Put him in with a really tough guy, a guy that's going to come forward, a guy that's going to test your body and your chin, and a guy that's going to see whether or not we know you have combinations. We know you can counterpunch, but what happens when the ring is cut off and a guy can take your punch and he's going to continuously come forward? Are you going to show us different angles? This is a great move for Golden Boy. Good fight. I like the fight. I know a lot of folks are down in the fight. They're not even caring for the fight. So let's move on really quick to Mauricio Herrera versus Danny Garcia happening in Puerto Rico. Hey, I was telling you this. I'm not really down on that fight. I really like this fight. Mauricio Herrera, he's a guy that could take a punch. He's a guy that throws a lot of combinations. He's a pressure boxer. He's a kid that's going to come and fight. It really just depends on how much wear and tear he has on his body. This guy's been in a lot of wars, you know, and Thompson fighters, they kind of come with that baggage of being in the ring a lot and fighting tough fights because they don't have the weight to put their fighters out there on HBO immediately. Danny Garcia's been doing whatever he's supposed to do as a champion, as opposed to with other guys, you know, that just automatically get a title. Here's a guy that's not a likable kid. A lot of folks have not kind of embraced him yet. You know, and he's still trying to find where he fits at. I mean, has Philly really embraced him? I don't think so. Is Puerto Rico going to embrace him? I'm not really sure. Has the New York Puerto Ricans embraced him? I don't think so as well. So he's really trying to find his place. But by fighting and continuously fighting and fighting the who's and what's out there, I think that's how he wins over fight fans, especially with Herrera. This is a guy that is just good enough to make you fight and look good. Is he good enough to beat you? I'm not too sure about that, but I'm sure he's going to give Danny a lot more rounds and a lot more exciting moments during the fight than a lot are anticipating.
Yeah, you know, I don't really understand it. There's people still make fun of Danny Garcia. And I know it's kind of the same people that make the same jokes, but even some guys in the media, I see it. They just don't give Garcia's a champion. Why isn't anybody talking about him in the Mayweather sweepstakes? He beat the machine. The guy everybody was – they weren't saying it yet, but they were getting ready to say that this might be the greatest chance to – I think even some people did say it. This guy looks like the guy that could challenge Mayweather. He's got that kind of power. And Danny outboxed him and fought with him and beat him. And you don't hear Matisse, like, clamoring for a rematch. Like, what's Matisse been doing since then? And people keep dogging Danny Garcia because he broke their machine. I think that's really strange. But the guy winning the Super Bowl and then finding out that he's a free agent all of a sudden. So, to me, this fight, Mauricio Herrera, I think it's a good fight. It's a safe fight in that it'll be action. I think Danny's incapable of being in a boring fight, even though people may think of the Matisse fight that way. I don't. So there'll be action. He's going to have to go after Herrera at times because Mauricio can fight going forward and backwards. He has no problem being cagey in there. But he doesn't have a lot of power, so you're not going to have to worry about him all of a sudden showing up and devastating your guy and catching him and knocking him out. Danny's had some rough fights and some top-level opponents all in a row. It's time that he fought. You know, no disrespect to Mauricio Herrera, but he's not, you know, he's not a world beater. But he's a guy that's respectable. He's going to give you action. He's going to give you rounds. And it's going to give the fight fans, I think, this combination of fighters an entertaining fight. I think it's great that he's going to the island. When's he going to Philly? I would like to know.
Here's the thing to add about Mauricio is that just like Danny, he had a fight who he had a fight to get to where he was at. Mauricio hasn't had an easy road. You know, this guy's put in some work to the level of what he can get himself to. That's what makes this a really interesting fight. It's not a great fight. It's an interesting fight. It's really a fight. If Danny doesn't come prepared, he could lose his title to a guy that is going to come prepared. But it also with Mauricio is how well is his body still intact? This guy's been through a lot of wars. It's got to be noted. He's been through a lot of wars. And he could take a punch. So, interesting fight. See what Danny does.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, it's. I think it's a fun fight. I think it's. But he, you know, at some point, he's gonna. People are gonna have to give the guy his respect, and I don't really know what fight it's gonna take. You know, does he fight Broner at 140 and beat him up? I mean, somebody's already done it. You know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting seeing how, you know, his year and Triple G. I think he has more upside in a sense in that there are fights that Danny can get and make if Golden Boy allows it and Heyman allows it that can really up his status and set the table for him to fight Floyd at some point. I think he's got an interesting skill set. I'm not going to say he's the guy to beat Floyd. He's not what I pictured. But then again, I didn't think Miguel Cotto stood a chance, and he was not what I pictured. And he gave him trouble. Danny's kind of in that mold of not being great at, you know, one particular thing, except winning. But he can do a lot of things really well. I think that's an interesting fight down the line, where you look at Triple G, and who's he going to fight if people don't fight him? And even the names that aren't wanting to fight him aren't that exciting. I mean, Martin Murray... I'm not that excited about it. I'd like to see it. It'd be an action fight. It'd be interesting because I think Murray's got some real power. But I don't know. I'm curious about how the rest of the year plays out. I mean, we're not even to the end of the first quarter. But
yeah, it just we just breaking the ice right now. Hey, really quick, I know everybody was talking about this. We're almost at the tail end of their show, but I wanted to kind of throw this out there. DMX, you know, it's been said that he's going to be getting into a celebrity a boxing match with George Zimmerman. I had a chance to speak to DMX's publicist, and Dominic, and he told me, this is what he told me, guys. He said that's it's being blown out of proportion, that DMX hasn't even announced it. It's really premature that DMX hasn't even signed any paperwork for the event. So the official announcement hasn't even been made. It's not, it might, you know, it's not even for sure it's going to even happen. And that's the end of that. So just to kind of throw that out there, I thought that'd be, you know, I thought that was kind of entertaining.
The Zimmerman thing, you know, I don't know. To me, like, why link that guy's name to boxing? One, the guy's not a – he killed a kid. You know, even if he got off, like, he's not a celebrity. You, if that's how you got famous, like, you should just try not to be famous. You should just go hide somewhere. And,
that's just,
you know,
the disrespect to the kid, too. You know what I mean?
It's
to call
just,
him famous.
You know, I mean, yeah,
that's
what
just,
you gonna do?
Wow. Celebrity?
Yeah, is he
going to celebrity
in a hoodie? Like, yeah, I mean, like, what is this? You know, what is the other guy doing? We're all Travion. Honor him with, like, saving a life that's out there, you know? Some kid that needs help. Homeless shelter. I don't know, there's all kinds of ways to help out. Stuff like that, like the Zimmerman thing. That, I just, you know, do an MMA match, dude. You, that's what you did in real life, and then you pulled out a gun because you were, I don't know what. But do an MMA match. Boxing has enough problems. I don't need George Zimmerman showing up and then people covering it like it's an actual event. I mean, I don't want to go on a rant as we're almost at the end of the show. It's just sometimes society just trips me out. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know.
And you know what? Just to point this out too, the publicist, when I talked to Dominic, he seemed very, I want to say irritated, but he was like, you know what? This is way out of proportion. You know, even the term celebrity. So that was that. That's why I talked to him about it and stuff, because like I said, you know, a lot of folks were kind of jumping up and down about this, and I was even asked about it, what were my thoughts about it. And I was like, I haven't even really had a chance to even think about it. I know some folks think it would be very entertaining. It's just the way our society thinks. Anyways, hey, fight fans, there's not a lot of other fights to talk about. It's really quiet. It's just really quiet in February. Kind of sucks. But hey, we'll be back next week here, same time, 11 a.m. here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Don't forget, I forgot to mention this earlier, don't forget to download the app to your iPhone and Android. And check out the features, because I've had a chance to speak to a few folks, and they really don't understand the features on this phone because they're not playing around with the app. But we got a lot of stuff on there to offer. Just take the time and look at it. Go all the way down to the first icon on your right-hand side. Click that, and you can catch archives. You can catch, Boxeo Tijuana Radio. You can see all the other shows as well on there. And voicemail, text, things you can do that you can connect with us if you didn't have a chance to get on the air with Leaving the Ring, the next round, or Boxeo Tijuana Radio. Anyways, I'm sorry.
I recommend The Naked Truth on there.
Yeah.
There's only two episodes. We'll be adding more at some point. It was kind of a project that became something else that was going to be episode 3, and it turned into like this whole other big thing. But the Mickey Bay interview, it's something people should listen to. I think it's interesting. It's particularly where, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, Dave, the New York Times editorial board, which is a pretty esteemed panel of people, came out against TRT as well. And we're like, look, you know, here's a study out of UCLA that's showing that testosterone replacement therapy is being overprescribed and prescribed to people that don't need it. It's even worse than the Viagra problem, which was, you know, big pharma creating, hey,
wow,
we've got this product, there's no need, you know. And so they said it's even worse. They've created a disease that doesn't exist in low T. Maybe like within like the whole scope of the world, there's like, you know, 5 million people, or 5% of people maybe have this, of men past like the age of 45 have this. When it starts to get smaller than that, in terms of age, when you get younger than that, the numbers, you know, get even more insane for how small the percentage is. It's a drug that people don't need. And then you think about like 20 and 30 somethings asking for it because, dude, my T is low.
you know, and you're totally ripped and I need to compete in this fight because my T is low. And New Jersey coming out and saying, look, this is fine. We drug test people a lot. So let them use this banned substance in this controlled manner. Makes no sense whatsoever, especially with what medical doctors are coming out and saying and the Association of Ringside Physicians coming out and saying, hey, this is a sham. It shouldn't be allowed. We're allowing anabolic steroids, which is what testosterone is, to be used legally. And we're saying it's okay in the most dangerous sport in the world. I'll have more on this.
Yep.
I've got another story coming out tonight, so it'll probably be on this subject. I think I'll save the Robert Garcia interview for another
time. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well. And you can follow us on the app. Our Twitter accounts are on the app. Steve Kim, myself, and Gabriel. We throw out a lot of information, not necessarily always from our website. It's from other websites about information, just like, for instance, the commissioners trying to award $5.5 million to retired fighters. I threw out the information about that. But the boxing place, I know I keep saying it's going to be up. It's just, you know what, every time I go back to it, I want to add a little bit more facts. It's starting to be a little bit bigger and more what I want to be molded for you guys to be able to listen to, because I'm going to provide a lot of information, and that information is, you know, has to have the actual facts on there so you're not misled. Anyways, fight fans, thanks for tuning in. Like always, every Thursday night here with Dave, I mean, Thursday morning now, not night, here with David Duenas and AKA 97 Ruff and your boy Gabriel Montoya, the Dark Cloud. I know he's called the Golden Gate Montoya on the next round, but here on Leader Ring, he's the Dark Cloud. Anyways, don't drink and drive. Enjoy your weekend. And you know the reason why you don't drink and drive, because you will spill your beer.
Dave, as always, fun show. And I'll rant at you next week. Peace.
Peace.